Okay, so that was my slide, yeah. How do you behave when you go to a restaurant and they give you an empty plate or bowl and you can fill it with all you can eat? Maybe a curry house with a row of different curries to try, or a Chinese buffet, or the salad bar. David and I, early in our relationship, realised we had this common skill of stacking the Pizza Hut salad bowl as high as you possibly can. You put the cucumber around the edges to build it up. Am I seeing some familiar nods, yeah? And the lettuce has to go on top because it's light enough that you can pile it really high. Yes. Did that salad actually taste nice? Could we distinguish one thing from another, or was it just a mishmash of flavours of everything? I haven't been to a salad bar like that for a while, but I wonder, if I went now, would I have the courage just to take what I really like, mozzarella, olives, tomatoes, and leave out the cucumber because it just doesn't go? I want to think about stuffing our lives so full of everything, perhaps missing out the flavouring in the process. I want to think about what Jesus has to say to those of us who have busy and overfull lives. So this is the second talk, as Ben said, in the series called Making Space for Life. Eric spoke to us 2 weeks ago about making space for God in the middle of our life, how Jesus brings us life, how space for him changes lives. So I want to continue this series by thinking about how to make space for him for life in a busy world. Many of our lives are stressful or busy. How do we manage to fit in space for God amidst all that's going on? Many of us live lives a little bit like the all-you-can-eat buffet. We take a little of everything for fear that we might miss out on something good. In the process, I wonder if we're so busy or focused on our agenda that we miss out on the unexpected things or the things that God really wants us to do. Eating that much at a buffet isn't really good for you. Maybe life at that pace just isn't good for us. So listen to what Jesus says. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus is not offering us an escape from this life, but a way of walking and working with him that fits how he made us. So I want to tell you a little bit about a period of my life about 2 years ago. 3 years ago. In July 2007, we moved house without managing to sell our old house. I was happy that we'd moved to a lovely house, but it was still a mess and didn't feel like home at all. I couldn't sleep. I was very tired. I was worried about having an empty house to sell and concerned about what people would think of our risky financial decision. Even looking at that photo of the for sale sign makes me feel stressed. When we moved was the time of intense final preparations for the Ashburnham holiday. It's a festival that Wharfdale Vineyard organises for several hundred people. David and I coordinated everything that year. There were lots of last-minute plans to be finalised, so 3 days after moving... in fact, we fitted in a birthday party for Sarah at home on the third day, and then the next day we ignored any remaining boxes and carried on organising and planning for Ashburnham. This photo is one of someone took of me at Ashburnham, busy organising something. 2 weeks after Ashburnham, we held a housewarming party and I cooked an enormous and complicated buffet meal. The photo is of the food cooked, covered in the cellar, which is the coolest place in the house because it didn't fit in the fridge, before everyone arrived. We had masses of friends come throughout the day and it was a great time, but we were exhausted after it. And then the next month, in September, I was made redundant from my job as a salaried GP. In the early autumn, we were very busy with doing up the old house, very busy in church and lots of guests coming to see our lovely new house. I was still worried about selling the old house and worried about what people would think of our decisions. I then had several illnesses, one after the other. Here's a photo of one of them. It was an eye infection that dragged on for a few weeks. Having had no time off for a few years from work, I had to phone in sick 3 times, although not actually for the eye infection. Perhaps my body had run out of fight. The illness has also made things worse. because I didn't want my employers to think that I was looking for chances to miss work because they'd made me redundant. I also found I was completely incapable of making any decisions about what I wanted to do next as far as work was concerned. So what was going on with me in 2007? Well, it was stress. David and I have a very busy life. We knew when we took on Ashburnham that it was a massive commitment. The decision to move house was also a choice that we made, although the timing of it was not entirely within our control. We chose to do everything, the housewarming and Ashburnham, to a rather high standard. Then, out of my control, I was made redundant. By the time all that had happened, I was worried, stressed, and still busy. So I'd like you to think about where you may be stressed or busy. Many of us are living incredibly busy lives. For some of us, that busyness is good. We thrive on it, but others of us feel out of control. Some stages of life just are busy, whether it's caring for someone that's ill, working for a deadline, or having young children. Perhaps we face stress or worries over illness, finances or relationship issues. I want to look about how we make space for life in a stressed world. Stress happens in life. It's part of the world we live in. Some of the stress we can control or alter, and sometimes we can change how we react to the stress. And I want to look about how we live life in a busy world. So busyness and stress are not always linked. You can be busy without being stressed, and stressed without being busy. But I want to look about how Jesus lived when he walked on the earth. We gain insights into both stress and busyness. So I think it's useful to look at them together, even if they're not always linked. So let's just think about stress first. What is stress? Well, stress is the name to the response our bodies make to events or situations. Many of us are familiar with the way our bodies respond by pumping adrenaline out when we're faced with a sudden stressful situation. We're suddenly focused, we have lots of energy, we don't sleep and we're not interested in eating. You may have experienced this when you've had sudden, devastating news out of the blue. This is called the acute stress response. However, many of our situations last much longer than the acute or short-term stress. It's often the long-term stressful situations that cause problems in how we think, how we feel, how we react, how we cope. However, pressure of deadlines and difficult tasks are useful to bring out the best in us. In that respect, stressful situations can be helpful. So what does stress do? Have a look at the diagram. I think it's coming up. Yeah. So the stressful situation can be caused by things inside ourselves, such as our own competitive or perfectionist ways, but it can also be caused by things from the outside that we cannot control, such as illness or financial worries. It could be a combination of factors. Stress affects our bodies in various ways: our thoughts, our feelings, our body, and our actions. There's a massive list of effects stress can have. Commonly, our thoughts, it may be worry or concentration issues. Our feelings may be feeling overwhelmed or restless or irritable. Our bodies may be many illnesses, either new ones or worsening of existing ones. Stress can affect our actions. One example is perhaps that we overdo some sort of behaviour, such as spending or eating or drinking alcohol. But there's many, many more ways that stress can show. In fact, it isn't always straightforward to recognise what's going on. So many of us are stressed in a normal week to a certain extent, but we do manage to carry on our lives. Sometimes, however, the stress does get too much. It begins to affect us so we can no longer function normally. We need time off work or major help to recover. And this is where stress can overlap with minor, with depression or with anxiety or other issues. And if that's where you are today, make sure that you talk to someone that you trust, that you get the help you need. So we thought about stress. Let's have a think about busyness. Why are we busy? Some of us, we need to be busy just to make ends meet or to cope with what's going on at the moment in our family. But maybe we're busy because of choices we made long ago, or maybe we're busy with stuff we had no choice over at all. I wonder, though, if some of us have learnt to fill our lives with one thing after another. And learning to make space is a very difficult skill. For some of us, life is like that all-you-can-eat buffet. We've filled our lives so full of good things without prioritising. Maybe we feel we're missing out if we say no to something, whether it's a social event or a training event at church. So we take part in everything, we accept every invitation, we get involved in every project going. Once we get to a certain level of business, we end up having very little space to think or spare capacity to cope with a new situation that may come up. One of the things I'd like to think about is deliberately creating enough space in our lives so that when something important comes up, whether a stressful situation or something good at the heart of what God has called us to do, we have the capacity to respond. We also need to be less busy because it's good for our bodies. It's good for our relationship with God. As Eric talked about 2 weeks ago, we need to deliberately make space for God to gain his perspective, to gain his compassion on the world around us. I recognise also that not having enough to do can be stressful. That might be because of our stage of life, an illness or a job situation. God intended us to have work to do. It was part of his original call to Adam to take care of the Garden of Eden. What I'm describing here is not necessarily paid work, but meaningful activity. When we don't have enough to do, we aren't able to fulfil what God planned for us as good. So we've looked a bit at busyness and stress. Let's look at Jesus' life, because I think this points us to when we look at him that we can apply to our stressful and busy lives. Mark's gospel is the account of Jesus that I think reflects his busyness. It's a fast-paced account of his life. But it also reflects that he knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going. As you read the gospel, it keeps mentioning he's going to Jerusalem, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And it gathers pace. Also, you notice that Jesus often says, "I have come that." He's quite often stating why he's come. So Mark chapter 1, just read a few verses. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." The first thing we notice in this passage is that despite a busy schedule, Jesus managed to make time to pray. He went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Although he got up very early in the morning, I'm not going to use this as a reason to say that we have to get up very early to pray. But Jesus did make time to be alone with God. In the passage immediately before this one, Jesus had healed many people. He was aware of the forces against him. He'd driven out demons. He needed to respond to this busy and stressful time by making time to pray. The next thing we notice is Jesus' clear understanding of his purpose. Jesus was clear what to say yes and no to. He knew his calling. Despite healing many people the day before, Jesus did not want to go back to that town and heal again. He wanted to go on to the nearby villages to preach, and he said, "That is why I have come." He knew he'd not just come to heal one village, but to travel further preaching. And if you read on through Mark's account of Jesus' life, then it's all about him heading for Jerusalem and the cross. So he knew that he'd come for that too, for Jerusalem and the cross. However, the third thing we notice is that Jesus was interruptible. The next thing that happens in the verse after the ones I've just read is that a man with leprosy comes to Jesus and begs him to heal him. And as he heals him, he says, "I am willing." And it seems to me that Jesus' ministry is a combination of knowing what he's doing in a focused and planned way and then getting interrupted because he sees the spontaneous things that God wants him to be involved in. So let's take another look at the passage from Matthew 11 that I read. Jesus says, "Walk with me, work with me, and watch how I do it." Walking with Jesus is about relationship with him. but it's also about doing the things he does. We noticed earlier that Jesus spent time with the Father, and that's something we can do too. We noticed that Jesus knew his calling and purpose. That's important for us too. Like Jesus, there's times for us to say yes and times to say no to things. And we notice that Jesus is interruptible. Sometimes that's important for us too. Watching those spontaneous opportunities when the kingdom of God might just break in if we drop the plan and respond to the situation. So walking with Jesus is not about following a set of rules or a code of conduct or a religion. We're following and walking with a leader. He's there with us in our busy lives. It's a relationship. So how do we make space in a busy world? It's helpful to think about why we're doing all the things that keep us busy. So one thing to look at is what are our motives? God created us to have relationship with him, to walk with him, but he is pleased with us before we do anything. All our activities are not there to make God like us more. As we're walking with him, walking with Jesus, we start to do his agenda. That's where our activities come from. Sometimes we tend to fill our lives with busyness to prove that we're something, or we try to be something we're not. We do not need to be busy to earn God's love. He loves us whether we're busy or not. So the next thing it's useful to look at in a busy world is our calling. At various points in the last few years, I've put time aside to work out what I'm called to do at that time. Some of the things are rather obvious. I'm a doctor, a daughter, a wife, a sister, a friend, a mother. God's not calling me to abandon those roles. But within those roles, I found it useful to think about what's important for now. So when I looked back at my journal, I found various things I'd written about being a mother to Sarah and Mark. At one point, I felt I should prioritise having fun with them and spending time with them. But a few months later, I felt God was calling me to think about releasing them in independence and inspiring them. So it's useful to think about what God's called us to at the moment. But also broader than that, think about a manifesto almost. Jesus had a manifesto that he used in Luke chapter 4. I'll read it to you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So last autumn, I had a go at writing my own manifesto, not a political manifesto, wasn't thinking of standing for election, but my version based on this passage. I started with the sentence, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," and began to think and pray about what he'd anointed me to do. What did I feel his compassion for? What issues in the church and in the world did I feel he was calling me to be involved in? Why not have a go? Start with this passage and try and articulate something personal for you at the moment. It doesn't have to encompass everything God's given you to do, but just something of what he's put on your heart. Don't feel worried by the huge nature of Jesus' manifesto. It is worth pointing out that he didn't do all of this all of the time. Writing your manifesto is something you could do individually, but share with a house group. It would give you opportunity to support each other and pray for each other over the next few weeks. So as we discover what we're for, we begin to make sense of the busyness and we can clear away some of the clutter. We need to make space for the important things, even if they are hard or stressful. So we do have to create space in our lives, but what sort of space is that? What's that space look like practically? So the first thing to do is to create capacity and time. It may not be possible to alter what happens to your time, but I challenge you to review it. If every available time you have is used, are you really being healthy? Look at whether your time reflects the things that are important to you. In the busy time I talked about at the beginning, doing the housewarming party was important to us for developing friendships with local people. However, we could have released much more time by not cooking quite so many dishes. Sometimes in the busyness, I lose sight of why I'm doing certain tasks, even the ones that are right to do, and the goal becomes getting everything perfect, looking just right. It may be that we've learnt behaviours like this, or that we're trying to impress others. But the result is tiring, it causes us stress, and it hinders what God really wants to do in us. So the next thing is to invest in restoring your physical strength. Many of you may know, but if you don't, it may interest you that the current guidance on mild depression, one of the key things that we're to advise sufferers is to take steps to restore a normal sleep pattern and to take regular exercise. And there's actually evidence that sleep and exercise help mild depression. So looking after your physical body is a good idea. In 2007, after all those illnesses, I took a decision to let my body recover. I made space to rest before rushing into finding a new job. So when we renew our emotional energy, we make space for ourselves to recover too. Think about what restores or helps your mood. Perhaps it's spending time with friends, perhaps time on your own, doing something creative, maybe watching a football match with a bunch of friends, but maybe not just at the moment. For me, it's getting outside somewhere beautiful in the sun and maybe finding the odd geocache, if you know what that is. So when you find something that really re-energizes you, then make time for it. The next thing is that if we invest in important relationships, we create capacity to cope with stress. We need to put time aside for relationships. If we actively invest in people who are close to us, then our relationships will be stronger and cope better when stressful or busy times come. It's important to resolve conflict if we can, to sort out issues. Unresolved conflict is a cause of stress and consumes masses of time and emotional energy. If we create financial reserves, then we create capacity to cope with stress. It helps to create some savings for unforeseen things. We're living our lives without saving. It will make coping with any stressful situation much harder. It may be just a long-term goal, but to get in place somewhere where you can build up some savings. When you have savings, it does also take wisdom to know when to use them. So if you'd like help with your finances, house group leaders or the pastoral staff will be able to point you in someone with the correct training. So we're making space to walk with Jesus. We need to make space to walk with Jesus. Jesus wants us to walk with him, and making space to be with him is important. And Eric reminded us of how when we spend that time with God, it changes us. We worship him. Our priorities change. To walk with Jesus, he reminded us, it's not a solitary journey. It's a journey that's best done with others on the same journey. So God's not necessarily calling us to a quiet or selfish life. He's not calling us to give up the important things that are keeping us busy. He may not take away the difficult and stressful things that are going on, but he does promise to be with us in it and change us. So this is about creating some space in a busy world, but not about escaping the world completely. So I'd like to tell you about another time when I was stressed and something that helped me. So this year on Good Friday, my dad was taken suddenly ill in Bristol, where he and mum live. After that phone call out of the blue, I felt that acute stress response I described earlier. I had a sleepless night and travelled on the first train down to Bristol. My dad was in hospital over a week, but thankfully started to improve quite quickly. I spent a few days in Bristol and returned to Leeds on Easter Monday. I spent the next few days finding it very difficult to concentrate on work and the children as I waited for news about his various tests, worried about coping with the deteriorating health of my mum and dad, who are both about 80. By Thursday night, we were still waiting for a crucial scan to even be booked, and I was becoming increasingly anxious. The stress was affecting my thoughts and feelings. I managed to turn my anxious thoughts to prayer, and it seemed to help. I read a passage from Philippians on prayer in the Message, and I'll read it to you. Don't fret or worry. instead of worrying, prayer. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces the worry at the center of your life. And it was that phrase, shape your worries into prayer, that captured my imagination and spoke to me. I love that picture of that happening. And in my mind, I have a picture of a lava lamp and those blobs that you have. And my worries are like those blobs, constantly changing shape, floating about in the field of vision. And as I go to God and tell him about them, he helps me shape them into prayers, both thanking him and asking him to work in the situations I'm worried about. As I pray, the blobs change shape. Sometimes my perspective changes. Other times God changes things. But as it says in the passage, Christ displaces the worry at the centre of my life. So in that stressful time, I used the picture of shaping my worries into prayer and tried to articulate the things I wanted to pray for. That Dad would have his scan, that I'd be able to find out some more information as to what was going on. I did feel more settled after praying and slept better that night. And the next day, the Friday, my dad had his scan. We travelled back to Bristol on the Saturday, as we'd planned, and Dad came out of hospital. And over the next few days, I was able to go to outpatients with him, which I think is pretty amazing from that distance, to be able to get down there and be at outpatients with him and spend some time with him. It was stressful. He's much better, but he has health worries and scan results still to follow. But I can look back and say that walking with Jesus and shaping my worries into prayer in the stress helped. So as I conclude, I'd like you to think about your situation. What God may be saying to you. Think about your life. Are you stressed? Is it a good amount of stress or too much? Are you showing any other symptoms of stress that I mentioned? Why are you stressed? Is it big life events or relationships or finances, your own competitive drive, criticism or change? Are you busy? And are you busy with the right things? Have you any capacity in your life for the things that are important, including the unexpected ones? Are you busy with the right things? Or are you saying yes to too many things? Are you doing things for the wrong reason? So what is God calling you to do within your stress and busyness? Maybe God is calling you to create some spare time in your life, to invest in your health, to invest in key relationships, to make changes about how you handle your money. Maybe God is calling you to make space for him in the middle of your situation, and to walk with him. Maybe God is calling you to shape your worries into prayer. So as I finish, I'd like to pray for you. And my prayer is based on that verse in Matthew. May you who are tired and worn out come to Jesus. May you who are burned out on religion come to Jesus. May you recover your lives. May you find real rest. May you walk with him and work with him. May you watch Jesus and learn the unforced rhythms of his grace. May you live freely and lightly. Amen.